Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Whiskey Cast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Welcome to Whiskey Cast, cask strength conversation featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 353 for January 22nd, 2012. This time around, I'm on the road in Victoria, British Columbia for one of my favorite whiskey events of the year, the annual Victoria Whiskey Festival. I'll have some of the highlights of this year's event in a few minutes, but first, let's look at the week's news. As always, it's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Back in December, I broke the news about Woodford Reserve's new expression. There are now more specifics available on the release of Woodford Reserve Double Oaked. It'll be available in the U.S. starting in March at $50 a bottle and will be available year-round in limited quantities. As I reported back in December, this bourbon is regular Woodford Reserve with additional maturation in a heavily toasted but barely charred new oak cask. I'll have tasting notes for it once it's released. Meanwhile, Ben Romick is releasing a new heavily peated 17-year-old. Septendecim continues the Benriach tradition of using Latin names for its heavily peated whiskies. Septendecim is Latin for 17. It's bottled at 46% ABV and will become part of the regular Benriach range available worldwide. Meanwhile, the Balvenie's latest expression will be far less available. It's the debut of the new Craftsman's Reserve series. Sam Simmons of the Balvenie explained it to me here in Victoria.
For Warehouse 24, it's our members, online members club, basically. It's a way to bring people to the distillery if they live in Victoria, if they live wherever in the world. The only way to get them all to Warehouse 24, to the distillery being 3,000 miles away, is trying to create this club. You know, Lafroy does it, other companies do it. So what we wanted to do was create, we created a whiskey shelf, we created the Whiskey Academy, and then we wanted to make a whiskeys that people could, you know, only members could have. So for the UK only, we tested this to see if it would work, and we, David Stewart selected a 15-year-old, you know, we have the 15-year-old single barrel, so we did this, it's always a American oak. For this, we did European oak, so it's 15-year-old single barrel, European oak, cask strength, nutshell filtered. And there were 1,000 sample bottles we sent to members. And then we're going to have 315 bottles to sell in the UK only. The Craftsman's Reserve number one, the Cooper. So Ian McDonald helped David to select a barrel. And he's our head Cooper. And that's what we have. We have this whiskey.
Have you tasted it?
I did. We did the live tasting. I flew to Canada Wednesday morning. I woke up in Aberdeen Wednesday morning. Because Tuesday night we did a live tasting from the distillery online. For Warehouse 24 members and anyone else that wanted to watch it. And I tasted it that night, and it's what you'd expect. Big, sweet, rich, honeyed style whiskey with the extra dimension of spice and all the rest that you get from a sherry butt. The thing that was interesting is that it was a refill sherry butt. And you don't really, you sometimes get first fill sherry cask samples and things like that. So you had an extra dimension of flavor. It was great. It was unlike anything in the core range. So that's what we want to provide. That's the whole point of doing it, is to give people a chance to taste something you can't buy on a shelf. Necessarily. So that was, hopefully we achieved that.
Going to be another one, you think?
I hope so. We'll see how the bottles go. They're going to go on sale in February. The reaction's been amazing. You look on our Facebook page, you look on our Twitter feed, the feedback is really outstanding. So I hope so. Certain countries have challenges with doing this type of thing, so you won't be able to do it everywhere. And I'm talking to you, America. So that's the challenge. But there's always ways around it. Where there's a will, people, there's a way.
In other news, Beam closed on its $95 million purchase of Ireland's Cooley Distillery this past week. That makes Beam one of only two companies with distilleries in all four of the traditional whiskey-making regions of Scotland, Ireland, the U.S., and Canada. Now, Cooley's John Cashman says it wasn't timed this way, but the release of Cooley's new Connemara Bog Oak comes just as the new owners get their hands on the place.
Well, we've taken some of the remnants of the turf moor, which was at 54 parts per million peat. And what we've done with bog oak is something really, really exciting. Insofar as the cask itself, the staves of the cask are our standard bourbon, ex-bourbon barrel staves. But the ends of the cask, we have reclaimed some oak wood that is laid in the bogs of Connemara for over 5,000 years. So we've taken that and then made the ends of the cask out of this type of wood. And then put it all together. So what it gives to the whiskey is this real earthiness that isn't there with the normal Connemara. Personally, I also get a bizarre chocolate caramel flavour from it that reminds me of a candy bar I grew up with called Smiley Bar. But it's a stunning, stunning whiskey. So some of it is, we'll say, the old turf moor. So that would be 4 to 5 years old. However, we do have some liquid as old as 18 years in the mix as well. So it's a very exclusive whiskey. It's limited to 1,000 bottles. And initially, it'll be only available in the Celtic Whiskey Shop in Dawson Street in Dublin and the Loop in Dublin Airport. Apart from that, it'll be on allocation, but obviously it'll only be a very small amount will be leaving the country.
And that Dublin airport shop at the Loop is really becoming sort of a hot spot for whiskey lovers. I flew through there last year and was really impressed with what they have in that shop.
Yeah, well, they came to us about a year and a half ago, and their concept was to have one of the finest selections of Irish whiskey of anywhere in the world, you know. And obviously, they were putting the new terminal was going into Dublin Airport, so they set aside an area exclusively for Irish whiskey. And yeah, it's got a phenomenal selection, everything from, you know, some of the small little private labels that Cooley do for partners all over the world, all the way up to single casks. Like we have a Greenore 19-year-old single cask, which is only available in the Loop. And what makes it special is it's one of the first three casks that we ever filled with single grain whiskey all those years ago. So something special. There's only a small amount of them still left. So if you're passing through Dublin, it's worth spending a few minutes extra and having a look around the Loop, because they're really helpful. We have a brand ambassador there on site, like 5 days a week, you know. Other companies have brand ambassadors there as well. But the staff themselves are really well trained, and that help anyone out with their ideas or suggestions what they might like to drink.
Will Bog Oak be technically the first official release under Beam ownership, or did this come out before the sale closed this past week?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of that. Yeah, it probably will be the first official release under Beam. We had hoped to have it out in time for Christmas. We had hoped to get it out first week of December, but we were let down on some packaging, and unfortunately the packaging wasn't ready until January. However, it suited like my two customers quite okay, because I said January's a quiet month, so if they get it the end of January, the people who are going to buy it are going to buy it anyway. They weren't going to buy it just because it's out at Christmas time as a gift. They're collectors. They're going to buy it no matter what. So, but yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, it probably is the first release under new owners.
Are you guys excited about this? Because I know they're planning on pumping a lot of investment in to make your whiskeys more widely available and give it some of the attention that it hasn't been able to get, at least under the founders.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real exciting time for us. Something Jack Teeling said, that they can achieve in 10 years what would take Cooley 30 years. They're going to invest both in production and marketing. We couldn't afford to do that. We only really invested in production, putting in new warehousing, putting in new concepts, new ideas. Whereas now, yeah, we're going to have. Yeah, a few quid for the first time ever to actually do some marketing and get out there. Beam have some really great ideas for the brands, not just Kilbeggan, but also the other brands as well, which is good to know that the family will be promoted. Probably focus initially will be on Kilbeggan. Look, that's the Irish whiskey market is a blended market, as everybody knows, and Kilbeggan, should be up there with the likes of Jameson and Bushmills and Tullamore. Heretofore, we haven't been able to achieve that, but with Beam, we definitely will.
I'll have tasting notes for Connemara Bog Oak on a future episode of Whiskey Cast. Here in Canada, the top-selling Canadian whiskey is making some changes for 2012. I checked in with Canadian Club's Tish Harkus here in Victoria.
The last time we were excited about a new launch was 1992. So here we are 20 years later, 2012. We've got a couple of really nice products coming out. There's CC Spiced across Canada and springtime this year. And it's going to be a CC Blackberry, a different variant in the U.S. I don't really know if spice go down into the U.S. or Blackberry come up to Canada, but each country's getting a nice nice innovation, something for us to talk about, and some great new packaging. You're really going to love this new packaging that's coming out. You know, being near and dear to the brand for so many years, being protective of it, there's been a lot of people that wanted to change it, and we were, you know, no, don't touch this brand. But this is something that only adds to the premiumness of Canadian Club whiskey.
And you're also planning to make the 20 more widely available than in previous years, right?
Yes, CC 20-year-old is being relaunched back into Ontario, the LCBO markets. There's going to be more of it, so I'm sure, you know, out here in British Columbia, right across Canada, you're going to see more of the 20-year, because I know it's been, you know, as I said, I wouldn't want the job of a forecaster, because you really can't predict. You need a crystal ball. You can't predict. When you put away, you know, whatever, 200 barrels of Canadian Club 20-year, you can't predict that that demand is going to triple in 20 years' time from now. But happy to say we've got some aged spirit. You're going to see a lot more 20-year, especially, like I said, in Ontario. So wonderful, wonderful product.
Will that be available in other markets as well?
I believe so, yes, yeah. I know for a fact of Ontario, and I know that there's going to be more of it being bottled, so I'm sure you'll see it in all the other provinces as well.
How about outside Canada?
Japan. The Japanese really, really consume a lot of this. The demand for it over there is incredible. It wasn't duty-free for a while. A few years ago, it was in duty-free. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if we're going to see it in duty-free. I don't know if we're going to see it in the U.S., but definitely across Canada, you're going to see it more.
By the way, Tisha's partner in crime, Dan Tullio, won't be on the Whiskey Festival circuit this year. The Godfather, as he's known, has moved over to a new role where he's working more closely with Canadian Club retail accounts on brand education. Glenmorangie has unveiled a new release. Artine is the latest result of Dr. Bill Lumsden's work with wine cask finishes. David Blackmore of Glenmorangie explains.
Artine is a Scots Gaelic word that means from stone. And what we've done here, it's a 15-year-old Glenmorangie that's been extra matured in Sassicaia Super Tuscan red wine casks from Italy. And Sassicaia, the Italian word, also means from stone. Both Glenmorangie with our Tarlogi spring water, mineral-rich water, influenced by the limestone bedrock that we're using very unusually, and Sassicaia wine grown, you know, these vines grown on very rocky limestone hillsides, both profoundly influenced by the limestone terroir almost at both locations. So it's a perfect marriage of Glenmorangie, aged for a period of time in American white oak barrels and then extra matured for a couple of years in these Sassicaia Super Tuscan casks.
And Bill's been leaving the finished whiskies in the cask a little bit longer than he used to early on, right?
Yes, in fact, the Artine, whilst it has a 15-year-old age statement on it, it's actually a combination of 15-year-old, obviously, Glenmorangie that spent a period of time in the Sassicaia barrels, but also a proportion of Glenmorangie that spent a bit longer in the Sassicaia barrels and is actually 21 years old. The proportions are roughly two parts 15 to one part 21-year-old, and the result is pretty delicious.
When will this hit the markets?
For the USA, it's here. It's on the U.S. soil, and should be. It's just working its way through the distribution network. Should be on the shelves any day.
How about Europe?
Europe, gosh, that's not one of the territories I'm covering myself. I believe it's pretty much now as well. Canada, since we're at the Victoria Whiskey Festival, I think you're going to have to wait a little longer, and maybe next November for Canada. But we're working hard to get a small packet available in Canada at least, which that's good news, I suppose.
Is this going to be a permanent addition to the line, or is this a limited edition?
Yeah, this is the current 2012 member of the private edition. Glenmorangie's private edition the idea is that we'll have one live product each year. So if you cast your mind back, 2 years ago we had the Sonalta PX using Pedro Jimenez cask. That was for 2010 and disappeared at the end of the year. 2011, last year we had the Finalta, that recreation of an older style of Glenmorangie. And yes, this one, the Artine for 2012. You'll find it reasonably easily throughout 2012, but this time next year we'll be talking about something else exciting.
I had the chance to taste Artine here in Victoria. I'll have tasting notes for it later in this episode. Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible is probably the best-selling whiskey book in the world each year, but Jim has taken the plunge into the digital age with the debut of his Whiskey Bible app. I caught up with Jim here in Victoria this weekend to get the details.
I can't tell you that much because You know me. How long have you known me? A long time.
Yeah.
I'm a book man.
You know absolutely nothing about writing an app, do you?
No. All I know is that people have been demanding it. And my team, you know, my publishing company, have put it together. They've worked incredibly hard to make it happen. And we linked up with people who are very advanced in that kind of thing. My son James, who's the guy who actually designs this thing, he's the guy who took on the project, and due to him, it's out. And I just went in front of a camera, did some talking, but basically, it's the Bible.
It's the entire Bible in interactive form for the first time, which I know everybody's been wanting for years.
The thing is that we've started off with it as it is, because people have wanted it. We've done it by this step. But in future, we've had discussions, we've had meetings. I think we'll be taking it further. But I don't want to make any promises, because I've learned that things always take longer than you hope. So, you know, but if we do something, we try and do it right. And the funny thing is, a couple of people reviewed it on the internet, and it got bad reviews. And my son was banging his head against the table, saying, you know, why are people giving us a hard time? Because I bumped into people all over the place, and they're saying, we're loving it. So, it's, you know, you read one thing, and then you're told something else. So, actually, the trip here to Canada has really galvanized me, because I'm hearing things that I didn't hear elsewhere. People seem to be loving it, and that's the idea. And if there are any problems, I'm sure we'll sort them out.
The app is available in the iTunes App Store. It's priced at $17.99. Finally, the Stetson hat is known worldwide as the epitome of cowboy culture in the American West, but the Stetson name will now appear for the first time on a bourbon. The Stetson Company has teamed up with Vision Wine and Spirits to release John B. Stetson Kentucky Straight Bourbon. It's a 4-year-old bourbon distilled in copper pot stills at an undisclosed distillery in Kentucky. It'll be available throughout the U.S. over the next few months. That's the news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Look for the new Glenmorangie app on iTunes. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well-made. It's been a busy but fun weekend here in Victoria. During the festival on Saturday, we did a live edition of WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings with a panel selected from festival attendees. It's available now at the WhiskeyCast website and on iTunes. I hope you'll give it a listen. Now, you may have noticed something different at the start of this week's episode. I'd like to welcome Glenfiddich on board as our second presenting brand partner for WhiskeyCast. This has been in the works for several months now, and Glenfiddich joins Redbreast as our two and only two presenting brand partners. Their support helps guarantee the future of WhiskeyCast, along with the support of our other advertisers. I hope you'll join me in thanking the folks at Glenfiddich and William Grant & Sons for their support of WhiskeyCast. Let's check the comments of the week now, brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker. Had a lot of comments on the Facebook page about my adventures in traveling to Victoria this weekend. As you may have read, bad weather in the Pacific Northwest over the last few days turned my simple flight plan into a bowl of spaghetti. And as I record this on Sunday afternoon, my suitcase is still somewhere in limbo between San Francisco and Victoria. Andre Girard jokingly referred to it as the WhiskeyCast North American Tour. Gavin Ryan Thompson protested mildly because I waited until Sunday to get this week's episode out. He says he needs his fix. Hope this helps, Gavin. Serge Valentin of the Malt Maniacs and WhiskeyFun.com posted this on Facebook. You remember the joke, Mark, man at the airline counter? I'd like to send this suitcase to Buenos Aires, this one to Paris, and that one to Sydney. Attendant, we can't do that. Man, well, you did last year. Maybe I'll see that suitcase at some point. Thank you, United Airlines. Finally, Ken Goldenberg pointed out that the DailyMeal.com picked our WhiskeyCast smartphone app as one of the 10 best drinks apps on the market. I had not heard that, so thank you very much for passing that news along, Ken, and thanks to the folks at the DailyMeal.com. Of course, if you have news to share, you can post it on the Facebook page, just like Ken did, or you can email me. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and the comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker. On the web at johnnywalker.com, click the banner at the WhiskeyCast website to become a Whiskey Insider today.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. In 1886, William Grant set out to fulfill a lifelong ambition, to make the best dram in the valley. Today, a rarity in Scotland, Glenfiddich still remains independently owned by the fifth generation of the same pioneering family. This unique legacy of skill, passion and pride forges a long-term commitment to creating truly great single malt, without compromise. Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To learn more about our award-winning range and join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Time now for the calendar of events brought to you for the fifth consecutive year by Laphroaig. Added a bunch of new events to the calendar this weekend, including the latest series of spirit schools at the Brandy Library in New York City, starting with a class on rare and precious scotches. It'll be held on January 28th and also on February 15th. Woodford Reserve will host a Valentine's Day dinner at the distillery in Versailles, Kentucky on February 11th, and the first Bourbon Academy class of the year on the 25th. Tales of the Cocktail goes on tour in Vancouver, British Columbia, February 12th through the 14th. Whiskey Live Australia will be held in Perth, February 21st and 22nd. Julio's Liquors in Westboro, Massachusetts holds its annual Whiskey-A-Go-Go Festival the weekend of February 24th through the 26th. That same weekend is Hansa Spirit 2012 in Hamburg, Germany. You'll find a full calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Take a virtual distillery tour at Laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Jerry McCarthy, stillhouse operator, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
There was a time then we brought in 12 barrels, and I was asked to, I was foreman in the warehousing at the time, and it was to be handled by Nolan, and then myself, and the supervisor in question, Dennis McSweeney. And we put it together, made it up. I was told to band them, strap them, get them onto the back of a lorry. They were being shipped off up to Dublin, and they were special. And I was told it was liquid gold. It was actually Redbreast.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know, know Redbreast.
Time now for WhiskeyCast in depth and more coverage of this weekend's Victoria Whiskey Festival. The festival started Thursday night with the Canadian Whiskey Awards dinner here at the Hotel Grand Pacific. It's the second year for the awards, and I was proud to be part of the judging panel. Davin DeKergamo of the Malt Maniacs and CanadianWhiskey.org founded the awards.
The gold winners were Gibson's 18-year-old. It's a really wonderful, crisp, creamy whiskey. Really typical Canadian rye whiskey. Weiser's Legacy, another gold medal winner, is it's made in a pot still. It's rye whiskey. They use malted rye and unmalted rye. There's a little bit of corn and I think a little bit of barley in there just to give some more bread to it. You know the way that tastes. It's like the sour German rye bread. And at the same time, it's got all those floral notes. It's spicy. What was a really pleasant surprise was Weiser's Small Batch. It's like almost like, you know, those cinnamon hearts or something like that. A very nice whiskey and a really an inexpensive whiskey too. I think I was a little bit surprised to see that that whiskey win. But it was a fair competition. The judges had no idea and what they were tasting, and you know the numbers came out high for that. Then we had Masterson's Rye, which is a 100% rye whiskey. It's called Straight Rye, made by Alberta Distillers and sold by a company from California called 35 Maple Street. And that is a really spectacular rye. It's to my mind, it's the very best of the Canadian straight rye whiskeys. And they came up from California to get their award. I was really impressed. In fact, almost every distillery had a representative here to collect the awards and so on.
And Masterson's actually made its debut in Canada this weekend at Victoria here at the Whiskey Festival.
Absolutely right. It's the first time people in Canada had tasted it, and they're saying the same things that we are. The big winner was 40 Creek, John's Private Cask Number 1. It's a really spectacular whiskey. It's got, you know, like I call it the spice monster, things like that. Now, we had a master class this afternoon where we tasted the Gibsons, the two Wisers, the Mastersons, and John's Private Cask, and got people from the audience. And I was glad to see, first of all, that the class was packed, the class was full. And then we asked them which ones they liked, and the opinions of the judges were confirmed that these were all gold medal winners. The judges were brutally hard on these whiskeys. The ones that won gold, they're good. They're great whiskeys. Any connoisseur in the world can taste Gibson's 18, Wiser's Small Batch, Wiser's Legacy, Masterson's, John Hall's Private Cask, and they're going to know these can stand on the stage, same stage with any whiskey in the world. But at the class today, they confirmed that these were gold medal winners, and they also they lean towards 40 Creek John's Private Cask as their favorite among them. So we were confirmed on that. You know, I think that we've really done is we've raised the profile of Canadian whiskey to some extent. The guy from Masterson's told me that he got a call from his wife. One of his distributors in the States heard that they'd won this award and sent flowers to his house. Isn't that hilarious?
What I also found was interesting with Masterson's was as soon as their press release came out, the LCBO in Canada came knocking, and as the world's biggest liquor buyer, they have a reputation, of course, as we've all discussed in the past, for being hard for retailer or for a new whiskey to get into. But they came in and said, we want that immediately, right?
Well, that's what I was told. I heard from one of the distributors that they had heard from the LCBO and said, we want that whiskey. You know, we want that whiskey now. Now, they've already tasted it, so they know it's not they're not just getting a white elephant. But, yeah, it seems to have raised the profile. And I got a phone call this morning from Bob Scott from Glenora Distillery saying, thank you so much for, you know, this award. You don't know what this is going to do for us. It's 20 years of making Glen Breton single malt in Canada. So, you know, there seems to be a big uptake. But I'll tell you, this was really a web-based thing. And then the Victoria Whiskey Festival guy said, why don't you do a dinner? And why don't you do a dinner in Victoria? And it all of a sudden it became 10 times as big. And I sent out invitations to all of the distillers, every one in Canada. And I think all but one sent at least one rep, some sent several reps, and we got this. We went through this process. We had good medals that were hard to win. They really had to work, you know, have good whiskey to get those, and it's really a very legitimate process. And I've had people coming up to me and they're saying to me, "Thank you for introducing me to Canadian whiskey. You know, I'm a single malt drinker. Thanks for telling me what the good ones are." And of course, my response is, well, once you're confident in your palate, you don't care if it's single malt or not. You want good whiskey. So it's really, you can say I'm talking fast. I'm very excited about this. It's really worked out well. Now, Mark, you were one of the judges.
Right.
We wanted to have someone who, because the United States of America buys 70% of the Canadian whiskey, we wanted to have someone you have a reputation for giving a fair assessment to whiskeys. So you tell me what you thought of some of those winners, if you don't mind me turning the tables.
Well, you can turn the tables, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've not gone back and compared my score sheets with the key that says what was what. But the little bit I did do showed that these whiskeys can hold their own. I mean, what I did was I scored them on your system and then I scored them on mine. And there's not a single one that I would have scored below an 80. Even the worst winners, or the worst whiskeys, even the worst whiskeys in this competition, I would not have scored below an 80. They were that good. I mean, so that really shows that the quality of Canadian whiskey, I mean, I've made this argument for years, it's really the most underrated value among whiskeys anywhere is Canadian whiskey, because you get that bang for your buck that you don't get with a lot of higher-priced whiskeys.
I appreciate you saying that, and I agree with you. But, you know, we asked them to send their very best whiskey. So, yes, Mark, you were tasting the best whiskeys that are made in Canada. And, I'm glad you agree. But, you know, I know you have a reputation for being fair to all kinds of whiskey, not worrying about where it's from. So, well, thank you very much for being part of that.
By the way, Davin's new book on Canadian whiskey will be published on May 8th. We'll talk about that on an upcoming episode. Now, Davin mentioned Masterson's Rye, which made its Canadian debut this weekend in Victoria. I first mentioned Masterson's in August when the legendary Sebastiani wine family unveiled its first entry into the whiskey business. Richard Zeller runs the 35 Maple Street Spirits Unit for the family.
Masterson's Rye is a case study on what the end result is when you decide on a project and you want to make the best possible project that money can buy. We use the finest rye grown here in Canada. Very, very small production, extremely small production. We handcraft it, we hand label it. Every single step of the way of production of Masterson's is done with the utmost quality. And we're absolutely excited to be here at the Victoria Wine Festival.
Victoria Whiskey Festival.
Oh, sorry. Victoria Whiskey Festival. Don't print that.
Why did the Sebastiani family decide to get into the whiskey business to begin with?
They have a love for the finer things in life. There is a massive revival going on in the United States right now towards craft spirits, specifically brown craft spirits. And whiskey is a very, very hot category right now. And we kind of scoured America and Canada and decided that we want to do a Canadian rye whiskey because it was the best rye we could find.
And you found it at Alberta Distillers in Calgary. And tell me how you guys found it, because this is something that could have very easily just been blended away, but you had some connections that really sort of helped you pull this off, right?
We did. Actually, a friend of a friend who does business with them on some of their larger bulk whiskeys introduced me to them. And at first, I don't know if they really thought we were serious about making such a high-quality product. And it just so happened that they had a very, very small amount of rye whiskey stored in barrels, very small amount, and we were lucky enough to latch on to it.
What's the plan for this over the next 10 years?
Well, the plan for this over the next 10 years, I believe, is going to be, well, first of all, we're very limited in what we can get. It's never going to be more than in between 3,000 to 4,000 six-packs each year. We just didn't lay enough down. And so the plan is to keep it small, keep it exclusive, and let the people who really enjoy the finer whiskeys enjoy Masterson's. That's the plan. We plan on being around for a long, long time. And what we're doing in the next few years, as our allocation comes on, we're not going to be bottling all of our allocation. We're keeping a small amount of our allocation in oak, and we're going to be releasing a 14 and a 16-year-old in very, very, very small exclusive lots.
You having fun with this?
Oh, having a great time. This is just incredible. Getting into this side of the business is phenomenal. The resurgence of the speakeasies in America, whiskey lovers all over the world, in all corners of the world. We released this less than a year ago, and we're getting inquiries from, I think we're up to about 20 countries now that have tried to get their hands on Masterson's. It's exciting. It's just exciting.
Is this more fun than the wine business?
Yes. Yes.
So?
The social aspect, the enjoyment of finer beverages, the people have just, in whiskey lovers, both consumers, the trade, the press, the enthusiasm around whiskey right now is unbelievable. It's just incredible. It's incredible. The wine business is fun as well. This is just, we're having a great time.
In the December episode of WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings, our panel tasted White Owl Canadian Whiskey. It's a 10-year-old white whiskey that's been filtered four times to remove the color while still leaving the taste of rye whiskey. Our panelists had a question during the taping. What was the whiskey like before the filtering, and was it ever on the market? I caught up with Ron Stothers of Highwood Distillers to get that question answered.
It was specific to that purpose. And basically, the whiskey prior to filtration had a very dominant rye flavoring. In other words, it's age neutral spirit put into oak barrels from rye grain. And as a result, it was quite a strong whiskey flavor prior to filtration.
And that's what helped it maintain the flavor after filtration?
Yes, it did.
Now, you've come out with a variation on White Owl. Tell me about it.
We've put a new product on the market called Spiced White Owl. And it is really nice. We were just tasting it here a second ago with a little bit of ginger ale, and it's heavenly.
Turning to scotches now, George Grant of Glenfarclas was in Victoria this weekend, but his attention was also back in Speyside as the Grant family prepares to pick the latest family cask release.
We've got quite an exciting year. We've also continued the family cask range, and also this year we're bringing out a new line with the 105. We're going to bring out a 105 20-year-old. We've always done the 105, which is a 60% whiskey. In 2008, we brought out a 40th anniversary bottling, so we did a 40-year-old 105, which was something exceptional. And we want to be able to carry on the style of doing different 105s, so we've managed to put together a 105 20-year-old.
Now, how did the 105-40 come about? Because those were casks that you'd basically set aside years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite amusing. We went around, you know, selling the 105-40-year-old, and people said, oh, it's very expensive, can't afford it. I'll buy it when you do it next year. And I sort of had to explain to them, we can never do this again. In 1968, we ran out of space in the warehouses, so we distilled at higher strength. So normally we'd fill into the casks at 63.5% alcohol. In 68, we were filling in at 73.5%, so 10% higher, so 10 degrees higher. So it meant that the whiskey, when it got to 40 years old, was still at around 60% alcohol. So we're able to do the special anniversary bottling.
And you're doing that again with the 20-year-old this year?
We're going to do a 20-year-old version, but we've just had to really struggle to find casks that have managed to hold their strength. These ones weren't filled at very high strength. Some of them were filled up about 68, but most of them were 63.5. It's just been very fortunate we've not lost any alcohol.
This will be available worldwide?
This will be available worldwide. Hopefully we're going to get about 4,000 bottles from it, and it'll be available everywhere apart from good old United States of America. We did contemplate putting it into some 750ml bottles. However, it was deemed just not viable. I had hoped to, you know, take it to some shows to let people see it. I mean, the whole whiskey industry now is so commercially that people do buy from different countries as well. And if people are generally interested in finding it, they'll find it.
Now, what's this year's Family Cask release series?
This year we'll be selecting 1997. Which will be selected at the Spirit of Speyside Whiskey Festival this year. I will pre-select six whiskies that I think could all make it as the next family cask, and then I will actually ask members of the public to come and help me pick which one we're actually going to use.
And the tickets for that went on sale this weekend?
I believe so. So it's probably sold out by now.
And you did the same thing last year, as I recall, having a crowd pick the family cask. How did they do?
They did very well. I mean, I think it's fantastic to get 30 people around that are able to help you select it, because then you've then got 30 ambassadors on your side that are all going to make sure that they've got that bottle in their house, and they're going to be telling people, I selected this whiskey. I mean, I think it's something that's very rare that not an awful lot of distilleries do. But, you know, these people know what they're looking for. These are the consumers that are going to be looking for it, buying it, drinking it. So why not let them have a shot in helping select it?
Now, you let one cask of 97 out for Kensington Wine Market in Alberta, right?
Yep, we did. We've always done special release family casks. We have done them for various different stores or marketplaces. Andrew wanted a 1997. You wanted to jump the gun before the real family cask comes out.
Who else has family cask single or special cat releases available?
We've done a couple in Spain. We did a 1979 quite recently. We've done quite a few in Belgium. There's a collector in Belgium, a gentleman called Luke Timmermans. He's taken a few family cask special releases, and a few other places as well. But obviously this year is another big year as well. We're about to launch the family casks in the United States. So we're launching three family casks there. We've launched 1962, 72, and 82. So it's going to be nice to see how they get on there.
When will those be out?
They're out. They should be in the marketplace now. They were shipped end of last year, so hopefully they should be hitting shelves now.
Speaking of Kensington Wine Market, Andrew Ferguson, Kensington's spirits guy, has been busy not only with that Glenfarclas cask, but with a number of other projects as well.
I brought it out to the show and George has poured it, and it went over as a big hit. He's coming to Calgary on Wednesday to launch it at our 7th annual Burn Supper.
And this is a family cask release, too.
It is, and it's the first private Glenfarclas cask in Canada. It's taken me a few years to convince George to bottle it, and or to let us have a cask, let alone bottle one, and we're very happy with it and expect it's going to do really, really well for us. The other one we have, which came in just before Christmas, is a 1972 Glendronach. I know one of the other Glendronachs, actually Cask 712, did really well in Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible. The one we have is Cask 711, and I think it's even better. And so far, sales are reflecting that. We have 300 bottles, and we've sold well over 200 of them in less than 3 months. So that's been great. And then the third cask that we have right now exclusively is a Kilholman sherry-matured cask. And at the time we brought it in, it was the oldest expression of Kilholman available in North America, and it was also the first fully sherry-matured one, and it's been a big hit as well.
What's coming down the pike?
It's hard to say what's coming down the pike. There's still a lot of stuff that's here that we're still in the process of digesting and showcasing to people. One of the biggest things that happened this year, in partnership with a couple named Rob and Kelly Carpenter, we've launched the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society in Canada. So from a single cask standpoint, we've got 7 or 8 new single casks being launched in the store every month, exclusively available to society members, but of course anybody can join the society. So that's the biggest thing moving forward this year is the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society Canada. And we're already looking at some new casks, looking at a Ben Romick for later this year or early next year. A couple more errands, because we did 2 errands last year and they were a huge hit with our customers and the price point was fantastic. So we're looking to duplicate that again this year.
The Canadian chapter is the newest chapter of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, but Ron Carpenter told me it's taken a while to get to this point.
Well, we launched in October of 2011 and we've been around for 3 months. All our products are currently carried through Kensington Wine Market in Alberta. And people can look at memberships through our site, which is smws.ca, or through the Kensington Wine Market website, and look at memberships. And we've got contact information if people are interested in any questions.
How hard was it to get this chapter started? Because we know about Canada's rather provincial, so to speak, issues with liquor and getting it across provincial lines. How are you going to pull all this off, and how hard was it to actually make this happen?
It has been difficult. It took us about 5 years to work with the society in Scotland and get the chapter started here. And we're currently working with provincial regulators in a number of provinces to try to get the product in those provinces.
How fast can you expand realistically?
Oh, it depends on the regulators. I think it will be easier in some provinces than others. Alberta is obviously the market we started in, and that's really the market you can start in Canada. In BC, it will probably be okay. We're fairly advanced in discussions with the regulators here. Ontario might be a little more challenging. We'll see as we go.
There's a link for the Canadian Chapter's website at the WhiskeyCast website. And those are just some of the highlights from this weekend in Victoria. I'll have much more on the next episode of WhiskeyCast. In the meantime, I did manage to taste some whiskeys during the festival. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you this time around by Bal Blair. Let's start off with Masterson's Rye. We mentioned it earlier, bottled at 45% ABV. The nose is full of toasted oak, almonds, and honey with a hint of cinnamon. The taste is rich, thick, and spicy, with cinnamon balanced by light brown sugar and honey underneath, and that honey note gets stronger as time goes on. The finish is honey sweet and lingering with a subtle cinnamon spice. It's an excellent debut. I'm scoring Masterson's Rye a 91. Sticking with Canadian whiskies for a minute, the Crown Royal Reserve is bottled at 40% ABV. The nose reminds me of honey on toasted bread with a touch of wet oak chips to boot. The taste is creamy at first, with spices that build up slowly to a nice, soft, smooth peak of cinnamon, allspice, and just a hint of vanilla. And the finish is complex and smooth, with touches of cinnamon, clove, and vanilla. I'm scoring Crown Royal Reserve an 86. Now, I mentioned Glenmorangie Artine earlier. It's bottled at 46% ABV. The nose is light, floral, and citrusy, with just a hint of ginger and honey. Great thick mouthfeel on the taste, with a pepperiness that builds up over a few seconds, along with ginger, honey, and brown sugar notes underneath, and a hint of grass and dried flowers, too. Great balance here. The finish is long, with touches of dry green grapes and a hint of ginger. And I want to tell you that that ginger note tends to build up just a little bit over time as the spiciness fades away. I'm scoring the Glenmorangie Artine a 90. And finally, Andrew Ferguson at Kensington Wine Market brought his exclusive 1972 Glendronach single cask bottling to Victoria. Cask number 711 was bottled at 49.8% ABV after 39 years in a sherry cask. The nose is warm with notes of red grapes, plum, orange peel, brown sugar, and raisins. The taste is chewy and mouth-tingling at first, with an explosive blast of fruits after a few seconds, peaches, pears, red apples, and red grapes, along with a hint of brown sugar. The finish is fruity and tongue-coating with brown sugar and a touch of licorice. It's a very complex whiskey. I'm scoring this 1972 Glendronach single cask from Kensington Wine Market a 93. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you this time around by Bal Blair, vintages timed to perfection. You'll find all of my tasting notes in the WhiskeyCast apps for iPhone and iPad, brought to you by the Glenrothes, as well as our Android version. They're also available at the WhiskeyCast website, along with links for our Facebook page and my Twitter feed, the calendar of events, my photo gallery, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com. I'd like to thank Lawrence Graham and all of the volunteers who make the Victoria Whiskey Festival one of the best whiskey festivals in the world. If you'd like to attend next year's festival, tickets traditionally go on sale the first Saturday in November and sell out within hours. You'll find a link to the festival's website at the WhiskeyCast website.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases, and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Whiskey Cast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2012, and this time around comes to you from beautiful Victoria, British Columbia. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.